This week's episode has no paid subscriber, so make yourself the one. Go to thedadpodcast.com and become a paid subscriber for just $24 a year and change my life. Thanks and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 91. I am here with audience favorite Andy Forrester, a.k.a. Big A, comic Big A. I apologize for messing up your... Have you ever just been known as Big A?
Yeah, I've been known as Big A. The comic Big A is just... Like, if you tried to get, like, a website or anything, yes. An ID, and you're just Big A. There's a lot of Big A's, apparently.
Are most of them businesses?
So, yeah, I am, like, my email address that I got years ago, I couldn't get, like, just Big A at Yahoo or whatever it was. And so my buddy said, I just put I am. So, like, my home email address is, like, I am Big A. And then, but then when I was a comedian, you couldn't do it there either. And in the end, I shouldn't have a nickname. Apparently, that's frowned upon. I'm fine with it. I've been known as Big A since I was like 14 or 15. So it works for me. I'm not opposed to it. But especially when somebody says it. So I got it the other day at the Sam's Club. Somebody's like, Big A. I'm like, I don't know where I know you.
Who frowns upon a nickname?
David Letterman.
Really?
Which I realize may not be applicable in the future, but I heard that he would never let any comedians on his show if they ever had, like, you know, like Bruce or, you know, people who just go as a nickname as opposed to, like, just a professional first name, last name. I don't think he would let him on because I think he was sort of like, well, this takes away from the comedy, the fact that you have this weird nickname type thing. And I realized that I've just admitted that the reason I wanted to phase it out is because I wanted to get on Letterman. I'm fully aware of that, but I'm not ashamed.
But why? That's weird to me. Like, I feel like, why would it matter? Why would it matter if you're Bruce? Like, it's always hard when you come across these things because you don't know if they're urban legend or if it is real. Like, part of you feels like, well, if it's real, like, what difference does that make? If they're funny, they're funny. What who they are, what they call themselves, should be really irrelevant. Right. It makes it feel like that there's less things involved than being funny. Because if there's one thing that, as a comic who tries to get on late night talk shows, I can attest to, if there's one thing you don't need, it's another gatekeeper or filter to keep you away. Like, there's pretty substantial obstacles in the way of getting on television.
And that's one of those things that I just heard. But then when you start looking, you're like, oh, yes, you know, there's other people who, you know, I think a good way to look at it is if, and this may speak more to the actual, like, I think there's a lot more urban comics who have, like, nicknames, you know what I mean? And I think it's like, well, but then again, you're probably not going to see a ton of those on Letterman anyway.
Right.
So.
Well, and here's the thing, Andy. I would suggest if you're trying to get on Letterman, you also would refrain from calling him a racist. I'm just saying.
I was not.
Yeah, it kind of felt like you did. Kind of felt like you were calling him a racist.
Not. I am a huge fan. I would never. I would never, never, never.
You heard it here, folks. Comic Big A, Andy Forrester, believes David Letterman is a racist, waits until his final year to let it out, and tells him, a man from the South calls an Indianapolis man a racist.
This is untrue.
More on that after these messages.
Oh my gosh. When are we going to start the show?
I've already hit record, Andy. I should tell you, this is Gotcha Journalism.
And let me go get Andy. He's not here right now. Hold on.
Oh, how are things? Here's the funny part about this is that before we turned on the microphone, You and I were doing like a podcasting, like troubleshooting seminar kind of thing. Like we were figuring out equipment. That's why if you compare this episode to previous episodes where Andy has been a guest, this one he actually has almost the same setup that I do. He's got a new microphone, new mixer, and all that stuff. So that's why the audio is so nice. And
just in here with me to help figure out how you organize all of it. Because it's not just like, well, you plug it in and it works.
but the funny thing is, though, is that you and I were texting to figure out a day to do an episode. Oh, yeah. And then I got a text from you saying, watching the X-Files while eating lunch, we need to podcast. I'm supposed to podcast with Justin today. I'm hoping he can help me figure out our kinks. You? Now, I just quickly glanced at that. Oh, yeah, and yeah. I didn't see that we need to podcast line for some reason didn't stick out to me. Yeah. And so for some reason, if you just say watching the X-Files while eating lunch, I'm supposed to podcast with Justin today. I'm hoping he can help me figure out our kinks. You like I thought, oh, my gosh, I thought this was a message you sent to your wife.
No. My goal is to have a podcast, and my friend I do it with, David Toby, out of Texas, comedian, and we've attempted many times, much to our own chagrin, because technology likes to kick us in the rear end when we do it. We've done it like in person and blah blah blah. So I now have all the equipment, minus the little personal digital recorder that got stolen from me, and so I can record it in GarageBand on my computer, and. My phone, again, technology doesn't like me. I don't know why. I'm guessing it's because I'm a ginger. And what happens is I had got a text from David saying, hey, what are you doing? And so I hit reply, and for some reason it said, hey, I'm going to switch the person you're chatting with to Justin, and you won't notice. And I've done this only once or twice. This is the equivalent of texting the wrong person, but thankfully my messages are never quite as obscene as other people's, you know.
Yeah, you're not. I'm just glad I didn't get a chat roulette-esque picture from
No, you'll never. I've never done that. I don't understand anybody who's ever been like, I should take a picture of that. Like, nobody wants to see those ever. So I sent you what I meant to send David, and so that was I'm a boob. I'm not gonna lie to you. One time I sent the new person who runs Good Nights here a text, and all it said was worst excuse ever, and then I didn't realize that that did not go to the person that I sent it to, and I'm like, oh, I think I've just ruined my relationship with my home club. That's awesome. That's great.
Well done on that. So now it's David Letterman and Good Nights.
rapping on people right and left. That's what I do.
Do you want to go after the funny bones next, or
Move on to me.
Fallon, or or Colbert? Maybe you cut off Colbert early.
Colbert, yeah.
Well, here's what's going on in my neck of the woods, Mr. Forster. I don't know. Are you a religious man? Did I crash your brain? I won't make you answer that. I'll just move on with it. It was merely just a throwaway question for me to start off on what I was going to say.
The answer is no.
Okay.
No. Don't hate me.
I'm not. Nobody's going to hate you. Oh, the listeners? No, the listener. Here's what I found over the past few weeks, and we'll do that after we take a quick break. But that my listeners are much. Enjoy this. I know it's easy for you and I, a couple of guys who are a little neurotic, may have a hard time understanding, but regular people look at this and go, you mean they listen to you on a weekly basis for an hour at least, and sometimes write in and say, hey, I like that. And you're worried about whether or not they're going to like you or not, or the things you have to say.
That's kind of how I operate.
So, well, me too. And so anyway, my point is that Easter, by the time people are listening to this, Easter has come and gone. But when we're recording this, we are getting ready for the Easter weekend. And people who listen to the show have heard me bitch and moan about the projects that are coming through. Well, first, I cannot let an episode go by without telling you the latest project. The teacher went on vacation, and then before she did, she did like a thing where she took a picture of each of the kids and then cut out kind of their head. And then the kids decorated a body. And then she put the picture on that body and then laminated the whole thing. And I know that this is a meme, like an internet thing of something that you make a little doll and then you send him to people and then like people take it on trips and take pictures of where this doll has been.
Yes.
Do you know the name of that doll? Because I can't pull it for the life of me.
It's done this and it's like Destination Dan or something
yes,
like that.
I think you're right. So my kid's preschool teacher, it's like she's listening to the show, I feel like, and she's going, oh, well, if you thought the solar system was out of reach, wait till you see what I have next. And she says, so she makes these things, and then Jacob comes to me and says, we have to take this with us on vacation and take pictures. I go, what? She goes, that's the project this month. And I go, wait a minute. I go, did your teacher assign us vacation? Like, did she say you have to go on trips? And I looked at my son. I go, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Take a picture with him at the Eiffel Tower? Like, and yeah. It's funny because it's another kid in his class or whatever. His name is Declan. And so he's like, we have to take Declan here. We have to take Declan. it breaks my brain.
The fact that the teacher said, yeah, that they assumed that you're going on vacation and that you need to take this wherever you go with you on vacation.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I don't know what exactly is supposed to be expected of me, because here's the thing. I know I don't have a real job. Okay. I get that. But that doesn't mean that I'm not working. You see, when you don't have a real job, for anybody else who's listening, who does have a real job, that it's not like you just sit around with your thumb up your ass all the time. What actually in my job is I have to work harder for free to eventually make a paycheck.
Yes.
That's how it works out for me. Now, again, I'm not complaining about my financial status. I'm just saying, what the fuck is going on that we are living in a world where I'm living in what I have to consider a two-income middle-class economy in Southern California. I just feel like you can't sustain paying for your kids' preschool education without two incomes in Southern California. Like, if you're middle class, like, I'm sure that, like, for instance, the guy, one of the cinematographers of some Oscar nominated film, his kids go to my kids' preschool, you know, they're doing just fine. They roll up in the BMW, but there's also regular folk that are going to this preschool, and this preschool isn't fancy. Trust me. It's I've kind of become the handyman there. It's falling apart at the seams. I mean, I recently put in a garbage disposal there, and I don't know when. That garbage disposal had to be manufactured in, I'm guessing, 1987, and it hadn't been touched. It hadn't been touched. And I don't know how long it had been sitting there, just non-functional, and they didn't want to put the money into fixing it, I guess. So I was like, well, why not have a garbage disposal? She's like, well, I didn't want to spend the money. I go, it's like $100. She's like, oh.
And you know how to install that?
Oh yeah, yeah. I guess an old school Renaissance man, but that's a topic for another show. But that,
right.
So here's my point. My point is that now we're getting ready for Easter parties, and they of course these people who deal with parents and their scatterbrainedness and they make fun of us rightfully so on a regular basis. They put out the youngest class put it out yesterday, which would be Monday. We're recording this on a Tuesday, saying, hey, just a reminder, school is going to be closed on Friday. We're going to be having a party on Thursday. Sign up for these things. And I'm like, great. Today I drop my son off, and then the teacher says, okay, the older kids, the one that has all the projects, and I would like to give her a project of a day planner so that she could plan this shit out a little bit further in advance. That would be my project for you, Miss Preschool Teacher, for the month of May.
Nice. Preschool.
Preschool. Which, by the way, somebody either Facebooked, I think they tweeted me a picture. I got to put it on the Facebook page. They tweeted me a picture of some Las Vegas preschool. I don't know if it was their kid or what, but their kid is also doing, they did a report on Michelle Obama in preschool, or maybe it was some other class in her preschool. I don't know, but I was like, it's spreading. So I have to provide candy And then she said, what they said, provide plastic eggs so the kids could do an Easter egg hunt, right? And I go, well, okay, how many eggs? Like, here's what I need to know. I don't know if it's because I'm a man, but I feel like any other stay-at-home mom, too, would want the particulars. Like, just give me the fucking bare minimum, bare bones details. Say shit like, I need 15 eggs, plastic filled with candy around the 1-inch to 2-inch variety, various colors, no need to identify them, and here's what we're going to do. But instead, they just say, we're going to have an Easter egg hunt. Please bring eggs. No, fuck you very much.
Right.
Does that mean my kid or do we need to bring, like, is it like Valentine's Day? Because let's not forget the fact that in a preschool environment, one could be expected to reason that 99.9% of the people bringing their fucked hard kids in there, that's an unfair term, and I apologize. That's rage. I need to retract that. But my point is, they're bringing their kids there, are new parents. They're new to this, just like me. I am a rookie. Now, mind you, my kid's been going to the school for 3 years. I don't remember ever bringing Easter eggs years prior. Right. So I don't know if every parent goes through some kind of, like, mid-level amnesia and can only retain things in the 8-month range, or if this is just new shit that they're like, let's stir it up. Or if maybe they're on some kind of a 3-year rotation with what they fucking do for the holidays, but... So now I got to figure out that. And then the older kids class, the one with the projects, also adds on top of that, that we need to do candy for an Easter egg hunt. I would also like to each kid to bring in 2 hard-boiled eggs to color, to be ready for color. Now,
you have to send in hard-boiled eggs.
Yes, I have to bring in just two hard-boiled eggs. Now, here's how this kind of fucking blows up. And I know this is fucking rich white guy problems. I'm well aware. But what else am I going to talk about on this show? So, but I buy cage-free, like, fucking organic brown eggs that make me, as a rich white guy, feel like I'm eating on a farm. Like, that's what I have decided, is that I want my milk and my eggs to look like I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and tended to the chickens and plucked them from the straw nest in which they came. I don't need the corporate burdened white shelled eggs that have been they bleach, the same bleach they use on porn stars' assholes, they use on those eggs to make them. Now, are you saying you didn't know that? You didn't know that science?
You learn a lot in one sentence there.
Yeah. I don't know what's true. I don't understand. Here's the thing. That's what I guess I'm making fun of myself, and that I don't know what makes an egg brown and what makes an egg white. I don't really give a shit. But for some reason, marketing and my psychosis has told me that brown eggs are completely natural. It makes no sense for an egg to come out perfectly pristine white unless it is bleached in some way. And I'm sure they're feeding the chickens bleach in addition to all the hormones that they're doing that are making people with daughters have periods at 7 years old and all that kind of stuff. But I don't really know. I'm an idiot, is what my point is. So my point, though, is that I had 4 eggs left from the dozen I'd purchased to make waffles and omelets and such, but they're brown. They're not for coloring. So now I have to go buy another dozen eggs, because guess what? They don't sell eggs by the 2. So I have to go and buy a dozen white eggs so that I could hard-boil 2 of them. And then on top of that, am I a guy who will look up online to make his own Alfredo sauce from scratch? Yes, I am. Do I know how to hard boil an egg? Fuck if I know. I get that you throw it in there and you boil it, but there's also supposed to be some kind of vinegar soaking to make it easier to peel at some point. And I don't know if this needs to be easy to peel or if it just needs to be coloring. And then I saw there's like some kind of story that my kids are reading, a bedtime Easter story right now, that an old man is poking pinholes in either end of the egg and blowing the fucking egg out through the bottom of a pinhole. Like, I mean, I don't understand how anybody could have ever done any of that shit. And I also, like, all that really I found that pisses me off is, and I don't know if my father went through this, is that I just feel like, why the fuck are we doing this? Why? Yeah. You know what I mean? Why do I have to? Is it really improving their lives? Like,
I bought a couple of Bill Hicks CDs, and he totally has this thing where he's like, celebrated Easter. He was in some foreign countries, like, and they celebrated Easter. And they do it the same way we do, where we believe that a bunny hides chocolate eggs in to celebrate the death of a Jew or something like that. And so, yeah, I find it to be most baffling. I think that's why I'm so again, you asked me if I'm religious. I'm not a fan. It's not my thing. I don't like to piss people off when I say it, so I typically don't, but it's not my thing. And but yeah, Easter eggs and even, you know, like, I think Christmas is a great idea. You could probably do it without religion.
Right.
Well, I know they're like, well, it says Christ. Hey, it's a word.
I think religious people would argue that we are, but
already would argue what? That we are? Oh, yeah.
That we're already doing it without religion?
Without the religion.
Yeah. I mean,
true. I agree.
It's funny to me, and funny is a probably a bad choice of words, in that it's not like I'm wiping tears from my eyes, but I'm saying I do a lot of voiceover auditions, and around this time of year, they start coming up with the church announcements about Easter. And so it's hard because you could read the tone of the text. That's part of what differentiates somebody who can do that kind of thing, is that you can just read the words and go, oh, I get the context and what they're shooting for tonally. And so it's a hard thing that they say friendly and upbeat, but you're also saying words like the death of our Lord and Savior or the tragic. But then sometimes it's not tragic. Like, I feel like I need to sit down with some Christians and go, where do we land on this? Okay, is it, because I feel like I saw that movie that Mel Gibson did, and that did not look like a good day. Yet everybody's walking around in pastel colors and smiling. Is it because we're happy after the aftermath of it? Like, oh, it turned out to be a good thing for everybody. And does that mean that I'm a dick because I'm just like, yeah, remember like a millennia ago, and that guy just literally got the shit kicked out of him, and now we get to eat chocolate bunnies.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's horse crap. I agree.
I went to my friend's Easter service, and they kept saying, they would, like, a greeting was, he is risen. And then I think the response was, he is indeed, or something like that. Like, but they didn't say it like, that's why it's just funny. To me, it seems like a sitcom episode where it's like, you know, the atheist finds himself in the middle of, you know, the Phelps Church in, you know, Wichita, Kansas, or I don't know, wherever there would be some kind of extreme opposite to that. And I'm kind of muddling my way through like a bad episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, where I'm trying to figure out, am I supposed to be upset? Am I supposed to be happy? I don't know.
Is your wife a believer?
No. Well, I don't. It's a weird. Like, here's the thing. I think my wife and I are very American in that she, like, I don't buy it. And that's a bad way to say it. Let me just put this out there, and I think this will help you too, Andy, is that when I say things like I am not a believer, that's not like I look down my nose at people that are of faith. I don't. The only ones that I really don't like are the ones who take their faith and use it as a reason to judge and criticize other people. Those people I want to punch in the fucking face. But if you decide that you found this book and philosophy and you want to, you know, find a community of like-minded people to raise a wholesome, friendly, giving, generous generation of people, I'm not going to punch you in the face. I don't understand the atheists that are mad at those people. I feel like everybody's mad at the Phelps family, you know, that's like picketing dead soldiers' funerals and saying that homosexuals are the reasons why that person is dead and going to hell. Like, that kind of stuff, I feel like, is what kind of everybody tries to paint Christianity in that same brush. But most of the Christians that I know are just nice people that they like to help each other. They like what the Bible tells them, and it gives them a path and a guideline. And so in that sense, I'm like, great. So for me, I'm not a believer. I choose to live my life not believing that there is an afterlife, because I feel like that's a little fire under my ass to get shit done while I'm here. I'm 35 now, and it's very weird because it start to creep into my mind where I start realizing that there's a clock that's ticking. You know what I mean? Like, I've got shit that I want to get done and that I want to do, and I've become more and more aware of my own mortality, which is a weird thing. And I've had multiple conversations with my father about his mortality and what he's trying to, because he's kind of like, he's 57. So he's like looking to kind of retire and try and get done with work. But he doesn't really want to. And I'm trying to say, listen, you got about 23 years left, 25 years left, maybe. Why would you spend any of that time doing something you don't want to do, you know? And So that's you know, my whole philosophy is that I just don't like that. And I've had friends that say, well, then why do things that are nice if you don't believe that there's a heaven? I'm like, because it fucking feels good to help people and be nice to people.
You're not supposed to be a dick.
Yeah, exactly. I could be a good
ultimate
human.
Role. Don't be a dick.
Well, and one of my friends, he kind of explained to me, he said, well, you understand that all of your values are coming from the Bible. Like, those are all values that are similar to the Bible. And I said, yes. He goes, well, then why not just go to church and believe in God so that you could for sure make it to heaven? I said, here's the thing. I said, let's say there is a God. He's going to know what is in my heart more than anybody else, right? So if I just jump ship for the sake of the benefit of heaven, I feel like that's kind of antithetical to what he's trying to say. And I know that
it's actually a dick move.
Right. And I know that there are people that, you know, that already, like, I just say this. I'm not interested in being saved. I'm very happy. So I save your time on the email. It's not going to happen. I know that I have some people that are religious, but they're not the dickhead religious. They're very kind. But just in case you feel that, because I have friends that they've had that feeling, and I try to politely talk to them and say thank you, but no thank you. Because if I find out that there is a God and that he's pissed because I didn't show up to church, even though I know that I've cared for and loved and helped multiple people in my life, and he's still like, yeah, but you didn't, you know, then I'd be like, well, then I deserve the hell that I've got waiting for me. If that's really how it's going to break down, I'll gladly take my punishment, like getting a stick from the tree in the backyard.
Yeah.
And if it's eternal, that's my bad. But I feel like I've gotten way off topic. What I really want to bitch about.
This is all about dads going to hell. That's right. This is the Dads Going to Hell podcast. I'll be your host, Beelzebub, with us today.
You know, you laugh, but I'm
just here is our special guest, Justin Wertham. Justin, tell everybody how you're going to hell.
The first thing I'm going to do when is it working? Is it working? I want to.
I want to go to hell so bad.
I want to go to hell. I feel like I'm already halfway there, but I don't know. I just feel different with Easter on the horizon. I feel angry about eggs. And everybody walking around, not eating anything except for fish. I don't understand that. But, my kids are fucking driving me nuts.
Yeah, that'll do.
I can give it to you, too. You want some of this? You want to know this? Here, now you talk. Well, you could be a demon dad with me. Oh, sweet. There you go. I don't know if you can hear yourself, but you're a demon dad. Oh, well, that's awesome.
All right, that's enough of that.
Love that. That's awesome. I got to get one of those. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I've been talking like that my whole life,
and I've been trying to. And I was like, if I just had a machine, I wouldn't have to ruin my voice.
Yeah,
but I love it.
Yeah, I think you could get the exact for about maybe $40 more than what you paid for that board. You can get one that'll do a lot.
Eat.
But here's my point: your kids are older. I just feel like.
I'm kind of on the cusp of are you talking about like telling them or something or talking?
No, I'm actually getting off the rhythm. My whole thing is I don't understand why we're living in this generation where I'm expected to do 45 other things. And why does it always fall under the fucking week when like I've got a thing that I have to go to tonight. And then I actually decided to do something fun at the suggestion of my wife tomorrow. So I'm going to bail tomorrow. These things have to be ready for Thursday. There's no fucking school on Friday because the preschool's closed on Good Friday, which means bad Friday for me because I can't work. Not that, again, let me just say this. I want this to be given, everybody should understand, this is all in the context of that I really fucking love hanging out with my kids and I love doing shit for them, but I just don't like when other people give me more shit to do for my kids. That's what I'm trying to say. Especially people that I'm shelling out $1,000+ a month to help me out. Like, I don't want a fucking homework when I'm paying $1,000 for it. You understand?
I understand.
And I mean, am I crazy? Do you have the same thing? Like, because here's what I imagine. I imagine that everybody else, other than the people who listen to the show, I've changed my mind about all my listeners, and they're all sitting there doing the same fucking thing in their car. They're like, right? This is fucking insane. But I don't know if this. So there's about 2,000 plus people that listen to this show. So there's say 2,500 of us, and is the rest of the world going, this is pretty fucking cool, right? We're going to do, oh God, I get to boil eggs for my kid and all that shit because, you know, it's not like I have 45 other things that I have to, you know, I have to do 50 auditions a day to make enough money to be okay that I might get work from. You know what I mean? It's not like... And that takes me, so by the time I take care of anything with the house, I go grocery shopping, make a plan for dinner, take the dog on a walk, feed myself, do this podcast. And poor Justin. But my point is that I don't need more fucking shit to do in my 6-hour day.
Oh, I believe me, I'm right there with you. And I have found that I'm one of the few, and you may have found the same, one of the few dads that does volunteer and end up doing a lot of this stuff because, you know, it's a lot of stay-at-home moms who, you know, and I think, you know, based on what I can tell, there are some that live for it. They love it. They can't get enough of the volunteering. They're nice ladies, but they're like, hey, I want to be at school as much as humanly possible. And I'm like, I can't get anything done if they aren't there and I'm not there. Like there's nothing. I can't do anything. And when you were saying like, you know, I just yesterday, the day before I went to the store, we went to the gym and then that was about it until I had to go pick up my other kid at 3. And then it's off and running with, well, you know, feeding them a snack and getting ready for dinner and blah, blah, blah. It's just, it never ends. And so you're like, yeah, I got time for all that. And then I get in trouble because if I don't remember it, you know, I end up doing it, but I don't always remember it. So then I somehow get in trouble with the missus. Didn't you remember that you're supposed to go do this field trip or you volunteered? And I volunteer because I'm like, well, I do have some time, but holy crap. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so are you secretly jealous of those people that are happy about it? Because here's what I am. No. And I feel like their kids, I don't know. I have two voices that live in me, okay? There's the voice that is like, oh my gosh, those kids, they must be like the Afghanimals. If anybody watches, do you watch Amazing Race, Andy?
The Afghanimals?
Do you watch Amazing Race?
I do not.
Oh, man. Anybody who watches The Amazing Race, you know who the Afghanimals are. That they're two Afghan guys from Southern California. I believe they're brothers, if I'm not mistaken. And they call themselves the Afghanimals, and they're going through Amazing Race, having the time of their lives, and doing nothing but spreading joy to everyone else. And my wife and I were watching the show recently, and my wife said, look at those guys. I mean, everybody's always having fun around them. They always just bring happiness. And I'm a fucking comedian by profession.
Yeah.
And I go, you know what? You're right. Like, and I start, and what I do, because I have kids and that's my life, is that whenever I see people like that, I always wonder, what is it do you think that their parents did? Was it that their parent, like, were their parents? Because here's what I'm driven off of. My perspective is I have to constantly be looking for jobs for my kids to do so they can learn lessons about money and then keep pushing them to improve and maintain consistency with, you know, with discipline. And I mean, have fun, and I do the wrestling, and I have balance.
Right.
But what if these people that had these two boys that were just, they're just amazing fun, what if they were just nice, the nice people that, like what you're talking about, that live for fucking PTA meetings and bake sales and all that bullshit? And what if they are the ones who have cracked the code to making happy children that are fun and entertaining on reality shows? Because that's all that's going to be for employment opportunities in the future.
Right, right.
It's only going to be reality shows. That's all it'll be.
Like. I mean, that's, I don't know, you know. I mean, it's really hard to say because you don't know that if smothering your child, not literally, but, you know, hovering too close and being around them nonstop or you know, a reasonable distance or very little distance or very little, you know, like you barely see your kids. You don't know which one of those three is the perfect or some combination within. I'm pretty sure it's not like, well, you know, the less your parents are with you, the better. That seems bad. But I also feel that on the other end of the spectrum, that can't be good either. Like, you know, I think it that's where you get a mama's boy and that sort of, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And so, or daddy's, whatever. And so it's just one of those things where it seems like there's got to be a balance to it. And I would never in a billion years say that I do it correctly, because sometimes I'm there, sometimes I'm not. I try to be at, you know, all of my kids' things, you know, that they have going on. But because of comedy, that can't always happen. And that sort of thing. And then I try to volunteer at the school, but I don't do it every time that they have an opportunity. I don't just show up at the school and go, y'all got something for me to do today? I mean, and you laugh, but I've seen that. So there's, so, you know, and there's, again, I think there's a balance. I'm not going to speak ill of it one way or the other. I know that my preference is, you know, some, and again, if I had a day job, then I would be like, well, I can't, you know, or that's what. And even my wife feels super guilty about it, because she does have the daytime job that she will volunteer. Like they had the mystery reader at the kindergartner's school, and so both me and my wife signed up as mystery readers, unbeknownst to each other. And so one day she went in. And what they do is they give the kids three clues so they can try to guess who it is. And when it was my turn, Olivia did guess that it was me, but apparently she had guessed a bunch of times.
What the hell is this? So this is like you go in and hide behind like a cardboard box?
You're a homeless dude. No, you hang out in the hallway at a very specific time. The teacher kind of like, all right, we're getting ready to have a mystery reader. Let's see if everybody can guess who it is. And so, you know, they guessed who I was, and or Olivia did, which was all that mattered, to be honest.
So they can't see you?
No. I was in the hallway hiding, so nobody can see me. But the door's closed at their classroom.
So I know, and maybe it's just my cynical mood that I'm in right now. But here, so I just want to make sure I get this. So the way this goes down is you're waiting in the hallway. No kid could see you. And then the teacher just says, who do you think is the mystery reader? Which is essentially, which one of your parents do you think decided to show up? Everybody just goes, is it my dad? No. Is it my mom? No. Is it my dad? No. Is it my mom? No. Is it one of my two dads? No.
I left out a crucial part. Sorry.
Okay.
Email the teacher three clues that she then says to the children, and they try to hear those clues.
Oh.
And so I said that I have curly hair, and that I can draw really well, and that I make people laugh for a living. And so Olivia knew that was me.
What were your wife's clues?
I'm like, the moment you asked that, I instantly wanted to say like three negative things to be funny, but that wasn't nice of me. So I stopped regrouping, and I don't know what her clues were. I think she said she travels for a living, and that she has, I think she said like maybe her hair color, her favorite color, and then, because they want it to be basic. They're kindergartners. Yeah. They don't want it to be like, you know, she's a transmogrifier or whatever. You know, they want it to be fairly simple.
Yeah, but travels. How do they guess it?
Yeah, they guess who it is. Like, you know,
but how? So, if you're that's what I'm saying is like nobody reads your wife's blog or friends is in her class is friends with her on Facebook. How are they gonna know what her favorite color is? You know, it's like I'm passionate about pug puppies and my color's purple and I travel for my job. It's like then a bunch of 5-year-olds, like I can't get my kid to guess what letter his name starts with, and he hears that on a daily fucking basis.
Well, what killed me was they did it for like about a month and a half, and so they had a lot of opportunities for a mystery reader to come in, and Olivia would ask me, Dad, are you ever going to be a mystery reader? And I'm like, I wouldn't tell her because that would, you know, I'm like, I'm not going to, I said, I can't say, maybe, maybe not. And she's like, well, I keep thinking it was you, I guess, the other day, and they said that they had red hair and that they liked to, and that they liked to draw, and that they really liked horses. And I knew you had red hair and you liked to draw, but I didn't know if you liked horses, Dad. And I was like, She said it real pitiful, kind of whiny, like, you know.
You know what I would have said to her if I was her father? No, I fucking hate horses. What, do you ever listen to me when I'm talking to you?
You ever heard me talk about a goddamn Mustang?
Have you ever? Ever.
No. No.
Well, here's what the other thing I want to know is
you bring in books, by the way. You bring in books that you choose to read to the kids.
So, and then your wife, like, is it, does she just want to swallow a bullet if they can't guess?
No. There's all the time they didn't guess. And they're like, well, here you go. It's Miss Forrester, or, you know, it's Miss Peterson, or whoever the hell it was. So, yeah, they all the time could not guess. But I think kids would, I think it's really for the kid whose parents coming in.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that if your wife was as neurotic as you and I are, then, right. You know, like, because you said this whole thing started where she felt guilty that she's not involved enough because she works so much and has to travel for a job. Yeah. I just kind of find it funny that if she tries and then they're like, nope. Like, the kids couldn't guess me, Andy. They didn't know who I was.
No, I don't think.
I walked in and Olivia said, who is this?
She looks kind of like my mommy, but she's a little nicer today than normal. So I don't think that's her. I think she was fine with it. You know, the crazy part is it's right before lunch. And so then you feel compelled to go to lunch with them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've ever eaten lunch with a bunch of kindergartners, but it may be the worst thing ever because you are watching 20, 25, 6-year-old kids not eat food that they just paid for and not eat food that their parents made. And it is terrible. It is the worst. Like, I sat there and did it, and I talked to both the teacher and the assistant teacher, and I was like, I don't know how you do that. Like, I would lose it at every in there. And the assistant teachers, the teacher assistant's kind of the one who goes in for lunch. So I think that's the one chance during the day the teacher gets a break from the kids. And so she's like, oh, it's pretty much the worst part of the day because, like, you end up helping a bunch of kids open things. Like, it really, as a parent, is a good thing for you to do. Like, go to school, eat lunch with a bunch of kids, find out what never to send that your kid can't open. Like, they can't open a Go-Gurt. I know it seems like they can, but they can't. They can't open a Go-Gurt, a yogurt, a pudding. They can't open it. And so you're like, so this kid bought, like, what is a basically like those Uncrustable peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but he bought them from the cafeteria. And there's like two in a cellophane pouch. Well, he can't open the cellophane pouch. I open it, and he proceeded to not eat either one.
What?
And I was like, in my head, I'm thinking, well, why didn't you just not open it and then not eat it and then shove it in your book bag? But they won't let them take stuff unless it might be like an apple. Like, they might let them take an apple. I'm like,
it's like a bullshit all-you-can-eat buffet. Yeah,
it's like, you can't. Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, eat what you can. You know, like, I think their policy, unlike some, is like, take all you want. And if you don't eat it, who gives a crap? We're going to throw it away. And I feel like that they should somehow fix that because I just watch so much food go to waste. The girl beside me was, quote-unquote, cleaning up and just poured her drinkable yogurt on the table. And if you may or may not know, I hate yogurt. To the point, I don't like the smell. I really hate the texture. I wouldn't eat it in a billion years. And here I am having to help some girl clean it up. She's gotten it all over her leg. I'm having to go, not even my kid. I'm helping some other kid who just was like, I just made a puddle of drinkable yogurt. I'm like, oh, I would have preferred diarrhea. I really would, because this is horrendous.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back with more awesomeness with Comic Big A and his love for yogurt.
If you're looking for another way to support the show or just a way to support the show, you could go to thedadpodcast.com, and on the bottom of the page, there is an Amazon banner. Click that banner and bookmark that link, and every time you go through Amazon.com, we get a little taste. Also, I'm going to be doing stand-up live at Flappers in Burbank. That's June 12th through June 15th, headlining. Also headlining the River Center Comedy Club in San Antonio, Texas. That is September 3rd through September 7th. And I will be featuring for the one and only Bobcat Goldthwait in Omaha at the Funny Bone, November 6th through November 9th. And I know some of you are like, Justin, these dates are like later this year. What the hell? I don't need to plan things that far in advance. Well, if you don't want to plan, all you have to do is this. Go to thedadpodcast.com. On the right-hand side, about two-thirds of the way down, you can sign up for my email newsletter, and you will get an automatic email whenever I am coming to your area.
All right, we're back. Some things I wanted to go over just because I keep forgetting this stuff is I have a bunch of emails. The most recent is from an episode I did with Denver Drew. For those of you that may or may not remember, I can't remember this episode number, but it would have been only like a couple weeks ago, so sometime in the late 80s. He is having a new kid. Well, not the 80s decade, you understand, the episode. Yeah, number.
I've been doing this podcasting for a while.
Yeah, before even the internet. And so anyway, he was asking me, one of the questions he asked for advice is about cloth diapers. I don't know. Do you have any experience with cloth diapers, Andy?
I think we did like one or two. But we don't. I'm still buying damn pull-ups. I couldn't be more sick of that.
Oh,
for next time.
I told him that I think for the first probably 6 to 8 months that cloth would actually be pretty doable, but until they start getting into like full-blown solid food, then I feel like they would be asking for a lot of trouble. And I think, let's see, a listener sent in and said, hey, I discovered your podcast a couple weeks ago and I really like it so far. I have a 1.5-year-old daughter and a brand new son. On your latest episode, your guest asked about cloth diapers. We have been using cloth diapers for our daughter, but we would have given up if not for the sprayer we got from Amazon. It attaches to the hose leading to your toilet and gives very high pressure to really blast the poop out of diapers. Without it, cleaning them is a huge pain. We still use disposables for overnight and for daycare, but this has reduced our diaper usage by a lot. It's been easier than we thought. There was an early adjustment period. They work better once they've been washed a few times, and you have to change them more often to prevent leaks, but they're not bad. We haven't switched the little guy over to cloth yet, but will in a few weeks. Keep up the podcast, and if I find some spare change in the couch cushions, I might be able to become a paid subscriber. Thank you, Luca. So evidently there's like a hose that you then can, like, it turns your toilet into a utility sink, I guess is the best way to describe it. And if you decide to do that, make sure you click through the Amazon banner at the bottom of the dadpodcast.com so that I get a little taste of that credit, because that's all I really deserve. The other thing, I don't know if you have any experience with this, but more than a couple episodes back, the Cindy Lopez episode, Spencer, I apologize, I keep calling, that's how I knew her before she got married, but she was hearing me complain about my 2-year-old having fits. We're out of that. He's back to his old self, where now he very adorably says, I love you so much, mommy, when he goes to bed at night. But we had a few, probably 3 or 4 days where he was like banging shit on the wall and screaming bloody murder for an hour and a half. And I got this great email, and I'm sorry it's taken me so long to share it. And it's a little long. This is no criticisms towards Haley, the sender, but it's chock full of information. You'll figure out why. It says, I hope that your nights haven't continued to be as crazy as the one you described on your most recent show. I listen to your show all the time. I think you are hilarious. It gives such a real perspective of parenting. My name is Haley, and I am a mental health therapist focusing on children. I tell you this cautiously because whenever I tell people this, their demeanor inevitably changes. Normally to an, oh, shit, so you really are judging me. I've been debating on giving you some unsolicited advice, not because I am judging you, but because I feel for you. I, too, have a 3-year-old that is quite stubborn, but he has learned the art of negotiating early, and sometimes I don't realize he has outsmarted me until after the fact. Bedtime can be one of the most trying times for parents. We are exhausted, our children are exhausted, and stress generally reaches an all-time high. This is especially true when our children will not just go the fuck to sleep. First, I completely agree with you when you say enough is enough. One song turns into 6, one snuggle turns into just sleep with me, please. One drink of water turns into now I have to pee. It is exasperating. A lot of times we have a routine that works, and then we unknowingly change the routine and everything goes to shit. The unsolicited advice is this. Speak with your son and tell him the plan. At bedtime, we are going to put our PJs on, read one story, give you one hug, and you are going to go to sleep. Once you are in your bed, you may not get up. If you choose to get up, and then blank. I would encourage you to not use your... So for anybody who's new to the show, what I did was I kept saying, okay, if you get out of bed, no treats tomorrow. Right. And if you get out of bed, then mom can't put you to bed again until you stay in bed. You have to stay in bed because he kept saying he wanted his mom. So I was looking for anything that he wanted to take it away. And it ultimately culminated with his blanket and his Tigger, which I was not happy about. And I had to find a way to where it was okay to give it back without, like, you know, backpedaling, if that makes sense. And so this is what she's reacting to. I would encourage you not to use your son's blanket slash stuffed animal as a consequence. While it may have worked once, which is why you probably used it again, it is usually a good idea to let those security items stay security items. When we take those things away, although our children may eventually become compliant, it may increase their stress and anxiety to agree that is not helpful in the current situations. I am by no means saying that you should let his behavior continue, just that his Achilles heel may be another item slash thing that he enjoys. I know you tried desserts, but maybe something else. My son, it is television. I take it away for the next day if he chooses to get out of bed. I think that it is important for our children to know our expectations and to know the consequences of their choices. It is also important for us to choose a way to manage the behavior and stick to that way for at least a week. I will spare you the psychological terminology, and suffice it to say that the behavior will escalate before it gets better. Children will try to push the boundaries, and we have to be firm and consistent in our responses to ensure a positive outcome. I am not a therapist or a mom who believes communicating with children is all rainbows and sunshine. We take a lot of the research and theoretical ideals too far, in my opinion. Yes, positive discipline is important, but so is respecting authority and being obedient. I have rambled a lot and hope that I have not offended you. I think you are an awesome father, doing the best you can. That's all we all can do. That's all we can do. I hope you could use some of the ideas or what you have tried has already worked. Again, thank you for doing the show. So that's from Haley, and I thought it was great, and that's why I read the whole thing, is I thought it was chock full of information. Clearly, she's somebody who knows, but is what I love the most about it is, like, she's like, listen, I know the shit, and I'm also saying, let's not get crazy. and overcorrect. Did you have any experience with that? Any situation where a kid was, like, refusing to go to sleep at all?
Yeah, we...
I guess that is kind of a loaded question.
I don't want to take up a bunch of time on your
podcast. No, no.
But things have, we'll call it escalated in our house as of recent. But in terms of sleeping issues, our oldest one, who is now 12, she had nonstop sleeping issues for a while. And it seemed like it was one of these things where, you know, she started out, she had sensory integration, got kicked out of 2 daycares, blah, 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 bit kids, had to go get occupational therapy. I apologize. Hold on. Sorry, I've declined to call whoever it is, unless they're dying. We're good. Although my wife, I'm sure. Oh, no, it's a booker.
Do you need me to let you go?
Huh?
Do you need me to let you go?
Well, can we pause it?
Yeah, of course. All right, we're back. You have handled your booking needs. You are putting food on the table. So let's go back. You were in the middle of talking about sleeping issues, if I remember correctly.
Yes, my 12-year-old has a plethora of sleeping issues. She's had 2 sleep studies done over the years. And in the end, they found out that her legs move at night more than any human that's ever lived, is kind of the way they phrased it. She has restless leg, and you think, well, that's BS. Here's how I can tell you that it's not. We have had to sleep with her through a vacation or, you know, come lay with me or whatever. And they do. Her legs. We went on a cruise, and the night before we went on the cruise, we stayed in a hotel in Charleston, South Carolina. My wife and I were kind of like, it was like a suite. So we were like in the room around the corner from the beds. And I kept hearing this. I was like, what is going on? You go in there and she's literally like, her legs are just moving so fast under the sheets, and she looks like she's having like a nightmare. So I finally, like, we debated about what to do, and I finally just kind of laid on top of her and got real close to her, and I was like, it's okay, it's okay. And I was like, what was going on? And she woke up, and she was like, well, I was running a race, and the coach said I wasn't good enough, and blah, 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 blah. And so, like, just nonstop, her legs would move. So she has restless leg, and she also has a hard time going to sleep. And then, like, staying asleep. So she takes medicine for the restless leg. Melatonin was the thing. You know, have you ever heard of that?
Yes. It's like a natural.
It's something we all create, unless you're a Forester, and then we don't create melatonin in the Forester family.
I remember reading that on the back of the bottle.
That's right. That's right. Does not apply to Foresters.
Yes.
Just get rid of it. So So we buy the melatonin and use it, and then then we still found that there still wasn't something that made it where she wouldn't always go to sleep per se, so that she takes another thing. And so she takes 3 medicines for bedtime, and the crazy part is recently, within the last year, she's gone to umpteen sleepovers for birthday parties. And she knows the drill. I mean, she's old enough to know, hey, remember, take these three pills at night. And we always tell whoever she's staying with, don't forget, she has a nighttime and a morning medicine, and she needs them, and or you will call us very angry. And so she, the last couple of ones that she went to, she didn't take her nighttime medicine. And I want to say one lady's like, well, she never went to sleep. I'm like, and then she woke up and didn't take her brain vitamin. And so you're like, so I have, like, you know, I've told him, like, I'm going to ban you from going to these things if you can't be more responsible, because you've created this, you know, it'll usually, like, on a Friday night, so all day Saturday when she comes home with us, we've got a problem on our hands. You know, I've got a crazy child who got no sleep and is off her rocker. So, yeah. So she has sleep problems. And then recently, Olivia has had some more sleep problems. She's had it where she, like, I had a nightmare, and then she comes in, and then there's definitely one night where she refused to go to bed, and we sort of struggled every hour on the hour. The wife and I were kind of back and forth. One of us was helping her, and then she came in and laid with me, and then she laid with my wife, and blah, blah, is back and forth. And so, but that's typically not usual. And she did it two nights in a row. And so on the third night, I put some melatonin in some water and said, you should drink this. And she could taste it. She could taste the medicine. And she's like, what is it? I said, it keeps the nightmares away. You're good. And so she asks for it now. She's like, well, can I have some of that? So we have that. We have the sleeping problems for sure. But that sounds – so you've been struggling with the sleeping – with the two-year-old sleeping
problem? Yeah, it's fine now. And I'm more playing catch-up with these ideas and stuff that suggestions listeners have brought mentioned on Facebook. And not everybody that listens to the show likes us on Facebook. So it's kind of hard for everybody to get access to the info, and I like to spread it. But, yeah, what was going on was he was just going through a phase that it's one of those things that I think you just have to maintain consistency and then eventually he just kind of falls in line. Like I don't think it's quite what you were dealing with. And that's the thing, is that everybody has like a different circumstance. Ours seemed like a big deal, but in retrospect, wasn't that big a deal. Like it was just like, cause you never know. You never know how long it's going to last when you're in the middle of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the funny thing was, is I think for us, you know, babies are one thing. When they don't sleep at night, it kind of makes sense, you know, like, well, it's a baby. Some do, some don't, whatever. And then she stopped taking naps really early. I think she stopped taking naps like when she was two or something, maybe, or less. And so it just kind of kept – and the thing is, I'm well aware of my history with sleeping. I've been a night owl since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that's why I feel like I'm perfect for the job of a comedian, because I stay up late and then it doesn't bother me to get up early, which I have to almost all the time because I have kids that have to go to school. So, you know, I generally get like 4 to 5 hours of sleep a night, every night. And apparently that's not healthy from what I understand. But that's kind of how I roll, and so when my kids have problems, I'm like, well, that kind of makes sense. They're my kids, but I don't want them to have that problem. And we've had to learn as they got older, with a 12-year-old, that you can medicate her ass all you want. If you don't take away that iPod and the phone, which we have got her a very simple phone, but she'll find a way to play games on anything. But she'll just sit and play games all night long. And you'll, you know, like I've been known to go to bed, or as I'm going to bed at like 1 a.m, I'm like, I swear I hear something. You'll get up and sure enough, she's in there playing games at 1 a.m, which yeah. means she hasn't slept at all since you put her down at 9 or 9:30. So, yikes. You know, not good.
Well, another, a couple other moms on, on Facebook started telling us that.
That was the original name for Facebook, Whatchamahoozit.
Whatchamahoozit was, yeah. And then one of those twins said, no, it's got to be different. Yeah. They said that she, like, I remember they mentioned that she had to, like, swaddle her kids and went through the whole thing where the yell, the screaming, and that she, and my favorite thing, though, is that she said that if you haven't heard the it's not fair thing. I like it when parents do that to me because I like it. It's because it's true, because she's like, if you haven't gotten the it's not fair, that's coming. Like, I just like that. I feel like everybody's kind of going through parenting in the same way, but different, if that makes sense. Like, oh, yeah. I like that there are predictive enough patterns where they could be like, And by the way, if you haven't gotten the "that's not fair," then that's coming. But I like the way she said it. She said, "I've only had to counter this." I've only had to counter this a few times. It's my job to make things fair. But if you really want me to try, she says, "It's not my job to make things fair. But if you really want me to try, consider this. I can't make you all or both equally happy, but I can make you all the same amount of upset." And then another mom had another great suggestion where she said, "One of our three went through the same prolonged bedtime thing at about the same age. I don't remember which one. There are three of them. What worked for us was setting a timer. For 10 minutes, we could do whatever bedtime things he wanted, read books, sing, or just snuggle. But once the timer went off, it was time for bed. Gave them a little control and also put an endpoint in place. Good luck to you." I thought that was a really great, great idea. And I'm always jealous of people who think of that shit, because I feel like you guys are the ones that are like, "Hey, I get this." And I'm just the one who's like, "Why the fuck? Just go to sleep. Like, you should just do what I tell you to do."
Yeah. I think it's a routine thing, though. Although, again, with our 6-year-old, it's been a lot of like our routine is like around 8. We go get in the bath or shower or whatever, and then, you know, it's brush teeth, brush hair, and then we'll read a book or two, and then the lights are out, we sing a couple of songs, and go to bed. And all of that total might take 30 minutes, but it's, you know, and then meanwhile, the 12-year-old is staring off into space, and you're trying to get her to do the exact same thing you just did with the other one, but, you know, by herself. And so the consistency of a schedule is good. I mean, like, you know, my little one doesn't know a clock well enough. She can read a clock, but she doesn't know it well enough to know, like, hey, we're like 30 minutes later than normal or 20 minutes earlier. Yeah. The only time that she gets thrown is if you're putting her to bed and it's a little bit light outside. She feels like she's gotten shafted. You're like, well, there was a time change and all that stuff. Yeah, but for the most part, if you can keep with a schedule, it's good. But we've done that and then put her to bed, and then you hear stuff. And you go in there and she's pulled out every Barbie she owns and she's playing, thinking you can't hear her, and you're like, what the hell? So, you know, then you realize, well, maybe it's horrible to have toys in her room or something. Like, you don't know. I can't master that, because you know, I feel like that's crap. You know, my wife's pointed out, she's like, you know, we keep having to put locks on so many things recently, the windows in her room, on so many things, that I feel like eventually everything in this house will have to have a key and a lock and all this stuff, and it just gets old, you know. But yeah, good times.
Yeah, it's good times. I like that you guys are, everybody has like these suggestions, and I feel like I'm overreacting. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, I guess you're right. It was just a phase, but in the moment, and that's like what your wife is kind of describing, is that in the moment it's hard to see the end of the tunnel, because you, like, I don't know how long this is going to go. Are we going to have to lock up everything in the house? Am I going to have to sit in there and listen to my kids screaming forever? I hope not. I don't know.
Well, in a 2-year-old, you know, like I feel like if your 2-year-old is not sleeping well, they're not consciously having any sort of problems. Whereas in my case, because I am raising 2 serial killers, I feel like they are deliberately not going to sleep. They're what can I get away with now? They're like, hey, it's dark and mom and dad aren't right here. What can I do now?
Well, it's hard for them to work on their small woodland creature kills any other time of the day. I mean, that's really their only alone time.
Yeah, I know we usually have like a moment of like, hey, here's how your kid was great in the last so-and-so.
That's coming.
I'm going to tell
that's
you what my 6-year-old has done in the last, say, 3 to 4 months. I'll try to condense it as much as possible. But she seems to have hit some sort of evil stride and is running with it. And we are working on getting her some help, because we started going to see like a counselor for her. He's a really nice guy, but he can't necessarily help in particular ways. So she's actually going to get a psych evaluation here soon, because there's something up. You can see it. And I know that sounds terrible, but like, you know, I'm a fairly astute person at reading people, and especially my own kids. I can tell you when they're lying in a heartbeat. I just know it. And so it's not lying for her. It's like, she'll look at you almost like she'll give you a look as if maybe she is the devil, and she'll kind of lower her head, kind of half have her eyes open and look at me, And the look says, are you messing with me? And I look back at her and go, you know, I'm a very large man, right? Like, that's the look I give her. Like, this is not, we're not playing around. I know I'm a big goofy guy, but I'm sick of this crap. And it just, she just has something in her face that says, hey, I'm up to no good. So in the last couple of months, she has climbed out on the roof to get snow. There's a little bit of roof right outside her windows. She had 3 cups of snow in her room. That was not her first time out the window. I had to go get locks for the window. That's not an easy thing to acquire because it's not like, hey, this is a fix-all. So I got one thing to lock it. She figured out that the top of the window would slide down despite the lock. So she's opened that up and was throwing stuff out onto the roof. I found $4 in change in the gutter. I asked her, why was there change in the gutter right outside her window? She said, well, that's because that's where I put it. That's a good one. My wife emailed me at a show one night. I was here in Raleigh, and she emailed me on a Friday night and said, hey, we ran out of hot water. Something's wrong. You need to check on it when you get home. I get home. I'm like, I already know what's wrong with it. And sure enough, out in the garage, she had turned the dial to vacation on the hot water heater. So, and it's funny because she got hot water and then her sister ran out. So very convenient. Not that she is smart enough to plan that far ahead. One day we were hanging outside with the neighbors. The neighbor went in their house, came back in and said, hey, our power's out. Is your power out? And I went in my house. I was like, no, our power's fine. And so my neighbor starts worrying, hey, did I pay the power bill? And then the other neighbor happened to be out there too on the other side of that neighbor. And they went and checked their house. Like, our power is out too. Meanwhile, Olivia had to be like, hey, I'm going inside. We'll see y'all later. And so my neighbors start walking around their house, find out Olivia had turned the power off to both of their houses from the electrical boxes outside of their house.
Wow.
I wouldn't know how to do that. We don't have those boxes on my house, and I've never done that, but now I understand how horror movies work a lot better because I always wondered how the power just magically went out in the house. So now I know. Olivia knows how to do it. It's kind of like a horror movie with these children. It really she pulled the fire alarm at school, which from what I understand is normally a suspendable offense, but apparently the fire alarms at school are also set up to some sort of handicap notification if you're like near the elevator and you need to use it, and that's the part that she used, and so the fire department didn't come out, but she did that. She stole a bunch of stuff from the homeroom she's in, and it would come home in her book bag, and we would be like, where did this come from? And she's like, I have no idea. And we asked the teacher. She's like, yeah, I've noticed things have been missing, so now I know who's been taking them and stuff like that. So, and my wife liked to call me about the fire alarm and the stealing stuff 45 minutes before I was doing a show down at the Laughing Skull Festival in Atlanta. That was good. And I was like, hey, this isn't helpful. I'm supposed to be funny in 45 minutes. And you're calling me to tell me that our child is headed towards jail. So maybe wait till tomorrow or something, unless you need me to come home now. And I just call it quits for the week here in Atlanta, you know? And those are just a handful of things that she's done, that don't include, dropping, goo on carpet. Goo doesn't like to come out of carpet. There's glitter glue in places that never should be, and things like that. So yeah, she's on a tear, and it genuinely seems to be getting worse. And when you ask her, she goes, I can't help it. I'm a bad girl. That's what we do. And so
I'm sorry that I'm laughing, but I just like everything about this.
Yeah, you're supposed to laugh. I phrase things on purpose.
Okay.
And so my therapist was like, you really need to get her a psych evaluation. I'm like, I know. And so my wife would be like, well, that's how we tried to start this whole thing, but then insurance didn't take this, and this person didn't take our insurance, and blah, 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 blah. That's how we ended up with the counselor. And so I had to go see my psychiatrist. They're two different people with the same building, and her and my therapist talk, and they were like, this is awesome. My psychiatrist said, you know, me and Amy were talking the other day, and we're like, he's a really great guy. I genuinely don't think he has any problems. If I had to deal with the crap that he has to deal with on a daily basis, I would need some medication too. And I was like, well, that's very nice of you. And she's like, are you getting help for your six-year-old? And by chance, she was there hanging out in another room. And I was like, well, we're kind of. And she's like, why don't you just let me see her? I was like, well, can you treat children and do a psych evaluation? She's like, yes. I was like, all right, done. You take my insurance. We're done. I don't have to go search for it. Because that was the whole thing. My wife was going to spend like another month trying to find the perfect person. And I'm like, no, I like these people at this office. They're very nice. And so I think they can be helpful. So
Wow.
And I don't like the idea that both of my children and myself might have to be medicated because I don't like that. That's not my thing. But at the same time, if medication is going to keep my child from having weird impulse problems and not pulling fire alarms and choking other children out and slapping kids and things like that, then yeah, I don't.
Well, I don't know, but I know that it's become, at least to a lot of the things that I listen to, it's become more prevalent, I feel like, to talk about quote unquote mental health. Now, obviously, I don't think that's what's happening here. But I find it interesting because I wonder, like, you know, these people, you know, you hear these stories about these people that climb to the top of bell towers, right? And they start plucking people off, you know? And I know that that's not, again, that's not this situation, but I just feel like what you're kind of reacting to is like, well, okay, let's say worst case scenario that is what we're dealing with here. Let's try and nip it in the bud either early, or maybe this is going to lead into a Jerry Springer-esque teenage life. Like, let's figure out and come up with a game plan now. And I think from what I've heard Dr. Drew talk about this a lot, where he said that if people took more of a proactive approach to even these people at the extreme of climbing to a top of a bell tower, that more could be done preventatively because we would be able to kind of see these things. And he said there are markers and things like that you see. But again, I'm not saying that your daughter's going to climb to the top of a bell tower, but
I am.
You are. Okay. but I think what you are doing is very smart in the sense that it's like, something feels not right. And this is what I think is very interesting. Having been somebody who's gone to therapy myself, is I wish we could get rid of this social stigma that is a label of failing. Or I really wish people would look at therapy as the same way they would look at a podiatrist. Right. In that, you know, oh, my foot, it's acting weird. And my general practitioner doesn't really know what to do. So I'm going to go to the specialist and they're going to kind of, you know, help me work through what's going on with my foot. Only instead of your foot, it's your brain and your emotions. And
yeah,
I would not consider myself to be a psychologically damaged person. Although people that have heard me tell stories about my childhood may disagree. I don't know. I know that my perception of myself is that I am not. And yet it helped me immensely and still helps me to this day. My wife is very grounded, has nowhere near the neuroses that I do. And she's been, and it's helped her a ton. Just, it's no different than a vitamin. It just kind of helps you figure out and navigate things that you're struggling with. That's my honest opinion of it. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to agree. I was like, that's absolutely true. You know, it's, but I had that same mentality about it though. The stigma.
Yeah.
You know,
until you go, well, you go and you walk out of there. And you're like, oh, my gosh. Like, I always felt Natalie, her experience was she would kind of feel bummed out afterwards, but not me, man. I always felt like, oh, like it was just this big catharsis and that, you know, it gave me plans of action. And now to this day, like I would have if I've had moments where I have a bad show or I see my insecurities coming in and it doesn't completely wipe them out, but it's given me a way to process them and to work through them and all that stuff. And I mean, you may go through all this rigmarole only to find out that she's like, so you got a little bit of an antsy, you know, kid on your hands. Big, you know, that's fine. But now you know what I mean? And now you know, oh, but what if they do? And they say, hey, we're dealing with what could be kind of a chemical imbalance and we would like to start to address it now. And you're like, great, let's do it. And then you're helping your daughter grow up to have a life, you know, that might not have been, I guess, if that, for lack of a better way of saying it.
No, that's literally our goal is to be like, hey, we need to get a handle on this because we had to do the same thing with the older one with ADHD. Mm-hmm. And I fought getting the medication and the doctor said, look, once she gets it, it's going to be a world of difference. And that's exactly what it was. She could sit still in a class. She had better grades. It worked out. And, you know, like I'm ready for that to be the case. Although it's just kindergarten, I don't need my kid getting kicked out of kindergarten and suspended for because she has impulse issues.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The counselor that she's been seeing, he doesn't want to diagnose anything. And I completely understand that. And I think anytime I mention, I feel like she's got this X issue or this issue, he kind of tries to steer me away. And I completely understand that. But I'm telling you, some days it's like there's two different people there. I said, and she can turn it off and on with a switch. I said, so some days she's just, she's as sweet as can be and you can't imagine anything's wrong. And she can turn on a dime and just be like, bam, the evil is here. Bring it on. And the thing is she loves to do that when I magically am out of town on a gig or something. And so then I've got to hear these horror stories and I've been having to deal with that recently because I'm like, you can't keep calling me right before I'm going to do a comedy show to basically tattletale about how horrible our children are. I'm with them. I know. Save it for when I get home. You know, like I don't. Yeah, that's what I actually, you know, my wife called me 5 minutes after I left to go to a gig the other day to tell me that. Did you know they broke the landscape lighting outside? I'm like, well, I didn't know it was broken. I saw it was not where it was supposed to be. But she goes, did you say that they could have waters from the neighbor's house? And I was like, you said you called me with three things. What's the third? And that's how I responded. She goes, well, you don't have to get mad. I'm like, yeah, I do. I said, because you called me to tattletale about our children. I said, I don't care where they get water from. As long as it's not a toilet, who cares? I'm going to do a comedy show. You've called to make me angry. And she's like, fine, I won't call anymore. I'm like, oh, well.
Mission accomplished.
I knew that was the secret. And I wasn't trying to be ugly, but I mean.
No, yeah. Trust me, I've been there. You don't have to talk about, listen, whatever you may or may not have said to your wife, I've done 10,000 times worse. So don't even worry about it. In fact, I may not be the best person for you to talk to about this.
I don't like saying anything ugly to anybody. I instantly feel bad right after it happens.
Yeah.
Especially my wife and kids. But I'm telling you, when you're on your way to go do a comedy show, and somebody pisses you off, it doesn't make you go, hey, this is going to be great. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh, son of a, you know, because I don't go in and go, let me tell you about this butthole right before the show.
Yeah, that's not your thing. I do,
so
you're the guy who pulls Slim Jims. And
I'm goofy. I pull Slim Jims out of my pants and, you know, do tortoise impressions and things like that. So,
well, one more thing before we wrap it up is I got another about last week's episode. For anybody who hasn't heard it, I had a great opportunity. I was contacted by their publicist to talk to Rachel Cruz, who you may not know is Dave Ramsey's daughter. Dave Ramsey is a financial guy, and he's the one that saved my wife and I financially about, I think I'm working on 12 years, 13 years ago, maybe more. Maybe 13 or 4. Wow. Anyway, two things. Number one is that when I talked on that episode, I misspoke about how the real estate economy crashed, and that's why he ended up going bankrupt. The real story is that the tax law changed, and so they came for the property taxes at a different time, and that's why he ended up going bankrupt. So that I wanted to correct. And then the other thing is I got a great message on Facebook from a woman named Catherine, and she has been in the bookkeeping business with her mom and has been helping families as well financially, and she had a great suggestion. She said, one of the things I always tell people is you have to treat your money as you would your child, with love and discipline and respect. Otherwise, with your child, they would end up being a serial killer, and that's why I want to bring this up. And with your money, it could be the serial killer of your credit. It is also important for couples to sit down weekly to pay bills together and have a weekly allowance for gas/groceries and entertainment if any money is left over from gas and groceries. I could go on, but I will spare you. I love your podcast. You crack me up, and I never think you are insensitive to others, and I think it's great how much you love your family. Anyway, that's Kathy, and she works at Wellington Bookkeeping Services in Carson City, Nevada. So if you want to use them, because they're a family-owned business and operated for at least a couple generations based on the story she's telling me, then
sounds
you can.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, before I forget, A long time ago, you may have heard an episode that was sponsored by the Creature Works. Whenever you guys sign up to do the PayPal thing for the $24 a year, it's whatever your PayPal name is. So if you have a business that you operate, that's what I got. And so I got thecreatureworks.ca, which is owned by a gentleman by the name of Tom. And what's a really cool thing is he said, I wasn't looking for a sponsorship. I didn't know that it would send you the name, but it's my business. And this guy makes puppets. He makes like Sesame Street-esque puppets. And that's his job. And he does like kids camps and does all this cool stuff. And you could find out more information about the this at thecreatureworks.ca. It's spelled exactly the way you'd expect it to be. And he's based out of Canada. And I'm sure that there's a contact. So if you have a kid, the reason I bring it up is because not only is the guy nice and supporting the show, but I know that some kids out there may or may not be into puppeteering and stuff like that. So if you want to help out a fellow listener, and you could go to his website and you could commission him to build you a puppet. I don't know how much this is. I mean, it could be $80. It could be $5,000. I don't know that part, but it might be worth throwing him an email and saying, hey, this is what I'm looking for. My kid's into puppeting and all that stuff. But his website is thecreatureworks.ca, and he did not ask me to do that. So if he is a dick and says, no, listen, stop emailing me, it's not his fault. It's mine. but let's...
I love how great you talked him up, and you're like, it's great stuff, good work. But now, if he's a dick.
Listen, I don't really know the guy. I mean, my honest opinions, just based on his $24 a year, is that he's a savior. He's a saint. I mean, he's an amazing human being with probably at least an 8 to a 12-inch. No, I'm going to go 14-inch dong. At least 14 inches that he's packing. And that's not a stuffed dong that he puts his hand in, but I'm willing to bet that it could be manipulated in the same way. That's my honest opinion of him. But because I'm a journalist and a broadcaster, I have to remain objective about said things. So it's not, I'm not allowed to editorialize.
Killing me.
All right, let's do some moments of the week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So I don't know if I've shared this one already, and if I have, I apologize, but we built a garden in the backyard, and the boys have been really fun, and we've been, you know, things are getting bigger and all that stuff. And one of the funny things that happened was I was talking about placement of plants within the planter. Here's the thing. I really feel like I've said this already, so I do apologize, but I think I've told it to friends because it's just made me laugh so hard, and my father. But anyway, so I'm talking about where are we going to put this plant, and I was asking Natalie about it, my wife, and she goes, I'm about to stick it where the sun don't shine. And my five-year-old goes, but Mom, it'll die. He didn't know what stick it where the sun don't shine. He thought that she was going to put it in a spot of no sunlight whatsoever and was smart enough to know that plants need sun in order to live. Then she explained to him that it means shoving it up someone's ass, which I thought was hilarious too.
She did explain that.
She goes, no, it means it's a figure of speech. This is what I love. She tried to backpedal in the way you're trying to have like a talk with your kid. She goes, no, it's like a figure of speech, and it means you're going to shove it up somebody's ass. I'm like, awesome. Well done. We are really winning here.
See, classy.
Yeah. And he goes, well, it'll still die then, even if you do that. Like,
like poop.
Yep. And if I did repeat that, I'll throw this one in there too, that it's fun that he's getting older and getting a little bit better at video games. And so we've been playing some video games together, and it was just cute. We're playing this game and he's laughing hysterically. I'll save that for another one, but he's laughing hysterically at this game and just having fun. And then he comes and he sits down and puts his head on my shoulder. And he's like, I love you, Dad. And I'm like, oh, I love you too. And Jax is in the same vein. Jacob has always been very, not sensitive, I guess. I mean, he is sensitive, but he's been very lovey-dovey, very cuddly. Jack was never that way. As a baby, he didn't like to be held too much. Recently, Jack has just started on this kick where he just likes to tell you how much he loves you. So he goes, I love you so much. And he doesn't understand. He'll be 3 in June, but he doesn't understand because he's used to us saying, I love you. And then he says, I love you too. So he's only used to the response. So right. when he initiates the I love you exchange, he says, I love you too. Like, like, so he's already skipped to the second part. And I tried to explain to him yesterday. I go, no, when you say it first, you just say, I love you. And it was just a weird moment of me sitting on the floor. We were waiting for bread to toast in the oven that I made lasagna and all this stuff. But anyway, I was sitting there and it was weird to try and teach him how to tell me that he loves me. Like, I'm trying to explain it to him.
It's not how you tell somebody you love them. You don't. That's like when my kids say, you're welcome, before you say thank you.
Yeah.
They're like, you're welcome. Yeah, well, I wasn't going to thank you. You were supposed to clean that up.
Yeah, exactly. All right, your turn, Mr. Forrester.
Well, I was we were keeping the 6-year-old home on Sunday mornings so as not to be banned from yet another place. And so apparently it's my job now to switch out the clothing for the seasons and sizes. And you have two boys, so you know about hand-me-downs and things like
yes.
that, right?
Yes.
So are you in charge of this task?
No, my wife does this.
Yeah. By the way, it's a shitty task. It may be one of the crappiest things to have to do because you're sitting there going, because the kid's not going to sit there with you for however long it takes and go, well, these fit, these don't fit.
Yeah.
That looks like it. No one's going to do that. You just kind of have to go, this looks a little too small. This looks too big. That looks gaudy. I'm not putting that on my kid or right. whatever. Because we've inherited stuff from other people. And you're like, nobody ever wore that. We're not going to start now.
And then it also leads to what I describe as the drunk feeling where you can't remember if it still goes to which kid. Like, you feel like a drunk.
God almighty, when I'm doing laundry, I get yelled at constantly. You know, this is not my underwear. I'm like, you know, I'm a dude, right? And I don't care. And if it's not, and I've told all three of them, the wife and kids, I'm like, I don't care. If you get something in your pile that's not yours, that, by the way, you never bothered to clean, dry, and fold, go put it in the other person's drawer and leave me the hell alone.
Yeah, just do it. Just fix it.
So anyway, this is not really turning into a moment of fun for me. I apologize. I'll get there, I swear. So I had to do this on Sunday, and it was horrendous. Just all these clothes I spent, and it may have been like 2 Sundays ago, and I spent like from 10 in the morning until 4:45 with a slight lunch break and something in between, just sorting clothes just over and over again. Because you're like, well, these clothes – are they going to go to the Goodwill, or are these clothes going to go back in the attic? And why are we putting anything back in the attic at this point? If they outgrow the 6-year-old, in theory, we're not having any more, so we're getting rid of it, blah, blah, blah. And she just stops me. It's like, Dad, can we snuggle? And I was like, sure, I'm pretty sick of this right now. So she had been doing this and doing that, and she tried on clothes for a little bit but got sick of it. And she just comes to me and asks if we can just snuggle, so which I love doing. I love taking my kids – and just hold, and they, which I think they eventually get sick of. They don't find it nearly as fun as I do, because I could literally, you know, hug them like
yeah.
a teddy bear and be like, all right, let's just stay like this. And they're like, all right, Dad, you're a little warm and you're yeah. hairy and you haven't shaved and, you know, I'm a little sick of this. And, but she likes it for a few minutes. So I love when my kids ask me to snuggle, because it just, it's a good feeling, because so many other times it's like, oh, get away from me, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when they do actually want to be near me, I'm like, I might as well take that when I can get it. I'll stop doing whatever, unless, you know, I'm eating, and then don't bother me when I'm eating. But other times I'm good.
You're snuggle ready.
That's right. So I love that. I love the snuggle, and I'll interrupt whatever so I can do that.
To get the cuddle on. Oh, yeah, there's nothing, no better feeling, honestly, than the cuddle. I'm a big fan of the cuddle, too.
Whoa, that was loud. Holy crap.
I hit a button on accident. I'm sorry. I apologize for what just happened.
Premature applause.
Yeah, that was that. All right, well, that was our show. You can
premature jubilation.
Did I cut you off? Am I cutting you off?
No, you're good. I was overspeaking.
No, I apologize for my crazy sound. Anyway, that's the show. Send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Don't forget to follow the show on Twitter, @dadpodcast. I know I've been promoting this call-in show, and it's if you're listening to this now, it's already too late, but this is before the Easter weekend. I planned to do it Easter weekend, then I found out that was Easter weekend. But it's going to be a Sunday coming up, because I figured that might be the best opportunity for most families, like in the later part of the afternoon on the Pacific. That way, East Coast people, if you want to do it, we're going to do a live live call-in show. So I'm working out the logistics of that. It'll happen in May. I promise. I apologize for it taking so long. You could follow me on Twitter at Justin Worsham. That's a great way if you want to chat with me. Same thing with Facebook.com/dadpodcast. Throw some likes up on there, and I would appreciate it. As for a Comic Big A, you could follow him on Twitter at Comic Big A. His website is comicbiga.com. It's the same thing with Facebook. There's links to that at comicbiga.com. As far as shows, you could find his dates there, but the next show he's got coming up, he's going to be at the Hard Rock Roxino June 5th through 8th in Cleveland, Ohio. So definitely don't miss him there. The big thing I would love everyone to do is go to thedadpodcast.com and become a paid subscriber. Here's the thing. I know some of you guys want me to do like the advertisers or sponsors. I've gotten some messages from people like, oh, you know, I wish I could get you sponsors, or, you know, you should try looking at sponsors. I'm going to be realistic with you. In order for me to even have sponsors contact me, I would have to have twice as many listeners as I already have. And then that would not equate necessarily to the money, because when you're a smaller show, and that would be about 20,000 downloads in a month, a smaller show, they pay you about, I think it's $20 for every 1,000 downloads that you get. Whereas if everybody who listens just did the $24 a year, which was about $2 a month, 50 cents an episode, then that changes everything for me. And this could be my full-time gig. I could do more episodes, but right now it's hard for me to devote more time to it. Not that I don't love doing it, but I would really like for this to be my gig. I'm trying to get into radio just so I could stop traveling. But to be honest, it is not going so well as I'm starting this venture. I hope things change. But again, please, dadpodcast.com, $24 a year. It would literally change my life. Also, want to promote the show. It's a lot of you guys are telling us via Twitter that you really like it. I know a lot of listeners that listen to this show also listen to the other one. I've got a new podcast called Justin is Married, Booker is Single. It's with a radio friend of mine out here in L.A. He's single and in his early 40s, has no desire to have children. Lives in West Hollywood in a very fancy apartment, and I am married to my high school sweetheart, of course, with two kids, as all of you know, and we compare notes on living the two polar opposites of the male lifestyle. So check that out. It's available on Stitcher. It's also on iTunes. The only website we have for that is facebook.com/JMBS podcast, but if you just search Justin is Married in iTunes or anything like that, it should pop up there. And I think that's it. On behalf of my good friend Andy Forrester, aka Comic Big A, this is Justin Worsham saying, stay frosty.